Okay. So now for something that's only tangentially related to the parasha, but not so tangentially. This week, as we mentioned earlier, it's generally referred to as Shabbos Shira. It's a very popular custom on Shabbos Shira, for reasons that we'll see in a minute, for people to go out and feed the birds on the Shabbos. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that, ever heard of that, but it's a fairly common practice, so much so that very often little children will come home sometime around now with bird feeders. Come home with soda bottles that are cut open in some fashion, filled with bird seed, or some paper bowl that's filled with bird seed and fashioned into what is purportedly a bird feeder. So there is discussion of this custom in the halachic literature. I want to go through some of that discussion, discuss what the issue is and how one should behave regarding this particular practice. So in order to understand, we have to really take a step back to discuss the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says the following, that this is on Daf Kuf Nun Hei, Amun Beis. It's a Mishnah, and subsequently a discussion in Talmud, as to the propriety or impropriety of feeding animals on Shabbos. So without going through the entire discussion, the Gemara ultimately mentions different animals and says, Nosnin mezonos lefnei kelev, ve'ein nosnin mezonos lefnei chazir. Ma hevdo ben ze leze? Ze mezonos av alecha, ve'ze ein mezonos av alecha. So that is becomes essentially a rule of thumb on Shabbos. An animal that is quote-unquote mezonos av alecha, whose sustenance is basically in your hands, mezonos av alecha, his sustenance is upon you, you're required, he relies on you. Meaning the animal relies on you for sustenance. That type of animal may be fed on Shabbos, but an animal that's not mezonos av alecha may not be fed on Shabbos. And the Gemara continues to discuss some of the more minutia of this particular rule, but that is the basic rule. So again, the Rishonim here, in discussing this Gemara, one of the examples that the Gemara raises is certain types of yonim, certain types of birds, some certain types of doves. So the Gemara discusses what's called yonei shovach and yonei aliyah. And the question becomes, in terms of the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses these different types of doves, are we talking about a person's own birds? Are we talking about birds of the wild? So the Shulti Giborim explains that we're talking about a person's own birds over here, but even with that, if the person's animal is able to feed itself, if it has access to food on its own because of the way it's set up, maybe it has a stockpile of food or water or wherever it is, that could still be, according to the Shulti Giborim, a situation of ein mezonos av alecha. If the animal has access to food, then you don't really have any business feeding the animal on Shabbos.
Why? Well, what?
So Rashi explains over there that when we say ein mezonos av alecha, in that case, it's kevan sheshchichi bidbara, since this animal goes out into a particular place, there's mayim in the midbar, therefore this animal is not considered mezonos av alecha, even though it's your animal. The Ran, however, explains that we're talking here about wild birds, when he's talking about mezonos, and why is it mutter to feed sometimes animals that are not yours? Why is it occasionally mutter to feed animals that are, so to speak, wild? So the Ran says that in a case where the animal happens to be wild, but it's mezonos av alecha, for example, it's not shchichi, the animal doesn't have access to food, then it would be mutter to feed the animals. In this case, the yonei shovach, even though the Ran explains that they're not yours, because the animal is now in a area, it's in a confined area, it doesn't have access to food on its own, and therefore, you would be allowed to feed the animal. Alright, that's not just the position of the Ran, it happens to be the position of others as well. So lahalacha, the Ran writes as follows: midamrinam de Gemara ulatimeich ma'ir yamayim afilu chiti v'sa'ari nami umafkin an shani mayim de shchichi ba'agam mashma de mezonos de lo shchichi kion chiti v'sa'ari mutter la seis lefnei yonei shovach The Ran says, when it comes to food that the animal doesn't have access to readily, then you're allowed to give that food. Lefnei yonei shovach, afal pi she'im hazon osem olov. Udiktani ein mei malak mei ha'lekitin liyonei shovach liyonei aliyah, mezonos deshchichi kamar. In a case where the Gemara specifically says you can't feed these animals, so the Ran says that's talking about a case where the animals have access to that food. Lefikach timhoni al harambam zal, shekosav perek hafalof mehilchos Shabbos, aval mi she'im mezonosav olov kigon chazir. He says, therefore, the Ran says, therefore, I don't really understand the Rambam, because the Rambam says, a chazir, a pig, and yone shovach, aliyah, udvorim, dvorim are bees, lo yitein lefnehem, lo mozon v'lo mayim. You should not feed these animals neither food nor water. But the Ran says, I don't understand why the Rambam just makes such a sweeping proclamation. The Rambam should have, says the Ran, distinguished between cases where the animals have access to food and where the animals don't have access to food. V'chein, he says, Harav al-Fasizal, lo hizkir mizeh klum, lo yadati lama. The Ran says, I'm a little bit bewildered by the fact that the Rambam paskened as he did, and they also don't understand why the Rif did not mention this either. Okay, what's the problem? What's the potential problem over here with feeding these animals? So the problem with feeding these animals is that it's a derivative of tzeda, of hunting or trapping. You're taking an animal that's not relegated to any specific area, and you're essentially forcing it into a confined area, or you're forcing it to come to a particular location. That smacks of the malacha of tzad. This is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, not going through the whole siman, but just to pick out one or two examples and then hone in on this specific case. These halachos are discussed in siman Shin Chaf Dalet. Shin Chaf Dalet.
You're not trapping the animal. You're trying to help them. You're trying to feed them.
Yeah, that's true. It's not that trapping is not necessarily a problem because you're...
Well, you're not confining them.
So that could be, in some cases, that could be a nafkamina between cases where it will be permissible and not permissible. It depends what you mean by confined. You don't have to lock the animal either to consider it confined.
No, let's say you put out some bird food.
Right.
The birds are going to come, you know, take a little bit and fly away.
So that for that reason, there are some who want to say this is not a problem.
420 blackbirds.
Right, give me 1 second.
Same thing with wild cats.
Yeah, this halach is in Yud Aleph. Ein nos nemayim v'lo mezonos lifnei devorim. You can't feed bees if you were so inclined to give water and food to bees. I don't know exactly what the mezonos of a bee would be.
Pollen.
What's that?
Pollen.
I guess. I don't know. What would you put out? Huh?
Do they eat the pollen? I thought they eat their honey. And they just use pollen to process things. I don't know what bees eat.
No, don't they take the pollen from the,
pollen, but
flowers?
They eat it, like, well, they take it and they spit it up, whatever, but they make honey.
Right, but it's used in making it's used to make the honey. Right, don't they use it to make it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think they have to
I'm guessing it provides them some sustenance. What else do they eat?
Honey, leave some
no,
so that
they
don't
just
start.
Transport it. They
say that?
It doesn't go
yeah,
through
that's
the
right.
Bees.
So you don't take all the bees' honey and leave, you know, one or two blocks in the beehive. Right? You know, they have a beehive, so like 20 blocks.
The honeycomb, you mean?
Yeah, honey. Whatever. If it's a human produced honey blocks, I guess you leave a couple left so that they don't start.
Okay. Velo lifnei yonei shovach v'yonei aliyah. Velo lifnei chazer. I'll explain in a minute, but then the Mechaber distinguishes. That you're allowed to do. You could feed geese and roosters. The animals that depend upon you, that's permissible. So what's the issue? So listen to a few Mishnah Berurahs here. The Mishnah Berurah says,
geese depend on you?
In this case, yeah.
They're the guy's geese or the wild geese?
So the Mishnah verse says what kind of birds we're talking about here.
What were the other ones besides geese?
Yeah, so I'll read it through. First thing he said was bees, devorim, you can't give devorim. Afil him shlo, even if they're your own. Yikomakom, even though they're yours, aim is an osein olav. Deshchichi lahu bidvara v'tircha shelo tzarchi. Here the Mishnah Berurah says the problem is that you're being matriach shelo tzarech. You're engaging in a laborious activity that's not necessary because the animal has access to its own food. Lovnei achazir, not in front of the pig. The aim is an osav alecha olav. Why lefisha osav legadlo? You're not responsible for the pig because you're not really supposed to raise a pig. That's a whole separate question where that applies. Does it apply only in Eretz Yisrael? Does it apply in Chutz Laretz? But there is a prohibition in some situations of raising a pig. Therefore, we can't say that you're responsible for tending to the pig if you're not even allowed to raise the pig. Let's say someone gave you a pig in barter. They tried to pay you a debt with a pig. So now you have it. You're allowed to keep it for some period of time. Mikri mizonos on alecha umotelitain law mizonos. The Mishnah Berurah says in a case where you have a right to have the pig, you're going to hold on to the pig until you can find the seller, a buyer, to buy it at the value of the pig so you can make back your money. Then you're allowed to maintain it, in which case you would be allowed to feed it. Lifnei kelev, you're allowed to feed a dog. Afilu kelev she'eno megadlo beveso. Even a dog that's not yours, not your own dog that you're responsible for. Mutter, let's say it's a stray dog that comes to your house all the time to be fed. You've conditioned it already. Mutter de mitzvah tzas gamkin litel mo mazonos. Why? Kemo shamer chazal, chas hakadosh baruch hu alav, hakadosh baruch hu has rachmanis, has pity, compassion on the dog. Lefisha mazonos of mu'atim, because the dog doesn't have so much food. Umasha achiloso b'meyav shlo yis'akel gimel yomim. The dog's digestion period apparently is very protracted, so that he could sustain himself. Lufnei kelov ra, but in front of a wild or rabid dog, it would be aser, like in front of a pig, because you're not allowed to raise such an animal. You're not allowed to maintain a wild, vicious dog. That's a separate prohibition. Just like you're not allowed to maintain and raise a pig, you're not allowed to keep a vicious dog, in most cases. Mishum da aser legado chazir mekelov ra. Yesh nogen, says the Mishnah Berurah, litin chitim lufnei ofos b'shalashira. Now the Mishnah Berurah says there is a practice, a custom, of feeding animals on Shabbos Shira, feeding the birds specifically, for reasons that we'll see in a minute. Ve'eino nachon, it's not proper. It's not the right thing to do. Sheharei ein mizonoson alecha. These birds, the wild birds, they're not reliant upon you. If you don't feed them, they're going to get food from anywhere. They eat the rest of the week. They eat from the trees, they eat the worms, they eat from any old place. You're not required to sustain them. Unlike a dog that apparently needs human interaction from time to time to sustain it, the birds are wild. So this would be, according to the Mishnah Berurah, we'll see why the Mishnah Berurah holds this way, this would be problematic. Because you have this weekly halacha that you're not allowed to feed these animals on Shabbos, this practice of going out of your way on Shabbos Shira to feed the birds, he feels is not proper, it's eino nachum. And the Shahar Tzion tells us, where is this from? Where did the Mishnah Berurah get this hakpada from?
The winter is different than
Magen Avraham. In a second. But no, there's nothing wrong with that. So
why is Shabbos different?
So one reason that it's potentially...
By the way, contain tannic acid, yeah, which cannot be tolerated by the stomach.
For humans, you mean?
Mm-hmm. For animals, too.
Oh, really?
So there are... when the whites first came to come...
the beginning of the discussion we really is in Sif Tes, where the Mechaber says, Ein ofsin es hagamo. Here he's discussing really the Mishnah, Dafka Fnenei. Then the Rama adds, "V'din tarnigolim v'avozim kidin agolim." So over here, the Mishnah Berurah says, "What's the problem with all these things?" Kol mizem mishum tircha yisera. All these things are because of extra unnecessary labor, unnecessary activity on Shabbos that one's not supposed to engage in. We would call that a tircha yisera.
They don't need humans.
When the squirrels came, did the birds leave?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to mess with the squirrel, but, you know.
Yeah, it depends what kind of feeder you have, where you put it, how you situate it. Do you have baffles on it, I think they call it, to keep the squirrels from climbing, right?
Yeah. So, but I mean, I just put it on the plate, right, and put it on the ground.
So this Mishnah Berurah is really based on Magen Avraham, and Magen Avraham really says that very thing. He says, "Yesh." This is Sifkat Zayin. Yesh Nogin Laseis Chitim B'Shabbes Shira. People have a meaning of putting out Chitim, kind of wheat, B'Shabbes Shira Lifnei HaOfos, in front of the birds. Ve'Ena Nochon Shrei'ing Mizonos HaValecha. It's not proper because it's not Mizonos HaValecha. Like the Gemara's rule. So that's the Magen Avraham. It's not on you. It's not incumbent upon you. It's unnecessary now. It's not a responsibility that...
Mizonos and Lecha?
Mizonos of, his Mizonos, are upon you. It's not that case. So it's not just the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal Tanya Shulchan Aruch, also...
Really? Baal Tanya himself.
Also... I don't know if he's making a joke, he's serious. What do you mean?
No, I'm serious. I mean, he's surprised. It's a Chabad custom to feed the birds.
To do this.
But I do have a question.
Yeah, let me just read this one line. Yesh nogim laseis chitim lefnei ha'ofos b'shabbes shira ve'ino nochon. Sheharei ein mezon oseim alecha. The same refrain. Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham, Shulchan Aruch Harav. Now, that's not to say there aren't others that do say that this is acceptable for reasons that we'll see in a minute. You want to ask me a question?
Yeah.
But I am surprised to hear that it's a Lubavitch minhag if it specifically states in the Shulchan Aruch Harav.
It says no.
It's surprising.
Yeah. So it says explicitly not good.
NG.
Is it preferable to feed your dog before Shabbos and just let it?
No, I don't think you have a specific. You feed your animals the way they would normally be fed. I mean, if the animal is your responsibility, you have a responsibility to feed it. In fact, Akedei Kach, you're supposed to feed the animal before you eat yourself. If the animal is reliant upon you, you have a chiyuv to feed the animal. It's responsibility. It's not meant to be taken lightly.
So, two things.
Okay.
First one, what if you throw it into a river? Second one, what if you.
What do you mean?
Feed fish.
So, that's a big problem. This same discussion is maintained by the Mate Ephraim and the Maharil and others, specifically with regard to the custom of Tashlich. And maybe that's what you're getting at. Right? So there are many that say, and that's a late minhag, by the way. The whole idea of Tashlich, A, and then subsequently Tashlich becoming a feeding of fish and birds, is even later.
Yeah, never mind. I was thinking about Tashlich, not the regular birds. I don't recall the regular bird business.
Oh, you're talking about Tashlich. Okay, but even that, I don't know what he says about that. I would have to take a look. But Tashlich specifically is discussed by the Achron Maharil. Says that it's proper to go to the water, but he says it's not proper in what people do when they take bread, to throw bread in, to bring, take food and throw it in. The original meaning seems to have been to walk to the side of the water, say the passages, and maybe to shake one's garments out, to symbolically rid himself of his sins, that sort of morphed into doing something more physical and throwing something tangible into the water. And he specifically says that's not proper. In some cases, it involves hotzah unnecessarily, and in other cases, it involves this additional problem of feeding the animals.
Excuse me, hotzah?
Nope. Yeah, so that's an eitzah. If a person really wants to throw the bread in the water, he feels strongly about it, should do that a day when it's not Shabbos or Yontif. And there are people that do it till Hashanah Rabbah. Yeah. Right? So that's not the original minhag, but if a person wants to do it in that way because he feels so strongly about throwing the bread in, I don't think anyone would give you a hard time.
So some people like to do it in the sink.
There are philosophical reasons why it's...
a different issue. You'd like to do it in the sink?
I saw somebody do it in the sink before. I was like, are you kidding
when
me?
When I was in...
running water.
When I was in Eretz Yisrael, the yeshiva was not near water per se, but Ashdod was about 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away. So this is the way they did Tashlich. In the middle of the day, everyone walks outside the Beis Medrash. I said, Ashdod, the ocean, is that direction? Everyone faced that direction. We said, Tashlich facing that direction. And we'll walk back in the Beis Medrash. That was it.
They threw bread on the ground?
No, nothing. They didn't do anything. Just, like I said, they just said prayer facing the sea, and that's it. The Aruch HaShulchan, and this is fascinating to me, the Aruch HaShulchan mentions this custom. I'm going to start a little back, because he, as he always does, he gives a little bit of a background. So he starts, this is in Shin Chaf Dalet, we have some time. I want to go from here to Achua and to Eliezer also. So everything that we've seen up till now has really called this into question. We don't have it here, so I couldn't read it for you. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perich of Zion, Sif Chaf Aleph, discusses this minigol. So he raises the problem. He says that he has an eitzah of how you could be mekayim in this practice. He says if a person has the practice of taking his tablecloth and shaking it out, some people, after they eat, they go outside and they shake out the tablecloth. He says if you'll do that, and you're shaking it out anyway, and then the birds come, it's not so problematic. He feels that that's okay. He's not going anyway dafka to feed the birds. So you can be mekayim the minug in that way. That's
can
his suggestion,
something?
Yeah.
Straight
now. That the, if it's the kind of animal which has been habituated to come to be fed, the chor should be no different than the dog. If it's a cat that people have taken on as a project to feed and to maintain and to care for, the chor should be the same thing. And the same thing with any animal that really has become so reliant on people that needs its sustenance to come in that way, the chor should be just as mutter.
So it would only be us, sir, if all of a sudden some Shabbos you decide to feed the birds.
Right, or you go in, or in Yontif, you decide you're going to feed the ducks and the fish in this pond because it happens to be a custom for people to do that. That would be equally problematic. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Kol behemah v'chayiv ha'ov shemazon osav alecha, if it's yours, she'atam agadam v'vesecha, atam achuyu litim lehem mazon osayim, u'lahachim lehem mashu tzvichim, kimo she'izbar. Avol olsen she'ein mazon osav alecha, those that are not your responsibility, she'ein atam agadam, ein lecha l'troach ba'odan. He's using the tircha idea, it's a tircha. Lefikach ein nosnim mayim v'lo mazonos lefnei devorim v'nei yoni shovach v'nei yoni aliyah shemazonosam einam al ha'adam el ha'shot etin ba'atzman. They take care of themselves. V'loktim is an oseyen v'lo lefnei chazir aval nosnim lefnei avozim v'tanigolim, the geese and the various birds that people do raise v'yoni baiso sochein kelev shemazonosav alecha kein hu loshon ha'beinu b'si yosef b'sif yiral v'loshon ha'tur hu nosnim mazonos lekelev v'lo lechazir. Then he continues. V'dah de'alavush kasef nosim mazonos al kelav shemagal v'veso. Ayn sham avur lahajedim ein akelav shelo ein litim lafan of mazonos. V'yish misha kasef from the Gemara it's mashma that even if the kelav is not yours, it's a mitzvah litim lo. Why? Because we said at the end of Shabbos. I'm going to skip a little bit here. Going through this discussion, what type of animal it is? Okay. Zesh Amr Bamasalo Lo Hainu Shalol Hargila Basmidus of Alba Cry Shapra to me dummy Virachum Ava Komasavksiv. Then he continues, Yesh Misroim Misramim, there are those who raise a concern. They raise a concern. Al Masha Minog Bashabashira Lizro Khitim Lifneha Ophos Bahare Aimzan Osavalecha. Aruch HaShulchan says, the Magen Avraham, who is the source for that concern. We know already the Shulchan Aruch Rav and Mishnah Berurah also shared that concern about feeding the birds on Shabbos Shira. Aval nearly, Aruch HaShulchan, and again, I submit, this is surprising, coming from the Aruch HaShulchan, nearly the Minhag Yisrael Torah. So it seems to me that this custom, like other customs that are entrenched in Jewish practice, he says, Minhag Yisrael Torah, it's a long-standing practice, and it's a legitimate one. Sharei Einanu Torchim B'Shvilam. Even if you want to tie in that there's a tircha here, even if you want to tie in that there's an element of tircha that's involved, there's no tircha here for the animal's sake. So they're all concerned about the tircha. So Pesach is correct that maybe in a case where we're talking about a totally unbounded area and you're not doing it and bringing the animal into a confined space, you don't have that problem. You don't have the problem of trapping, but you still have the secondary problem of tircha. You're engaging in an unnecessary tircha. So Aruch HaShulchan says, listen, who are we being matriach for? Why are we going to this trouble? Are we doing it for the animal? If we did it for the animal, it would be a problem. But why are we doing it? We're doing it for ourselves. Why are we doing it for ourselves? The margala b'fiha hamon, it's commonly stated in the mouths of the populace, sha'ofro ofos amru shira al-hayam. The birds sang, whatever this means, Chazal said, the Medrash says, Right. The birds also gave shira during Kriyas Yamsuf. When it says Az Yashir, also the animals and specifically the birds somehow gave praise. What that means on a deeper level is probably better left for another time. But I'd say on some level it means that even the Bria somehow reflected what was going on with Kriyas Yamsuf, manifested itself in certain changes in the Bria. Did they actually sing Shira? Obviously not. Lachain anu machzikin lahem tova. We want to show thanks to them. It's a way of showing Hakar Satov. Wow, you recognize the greatness of what Hashem did for Klal Yisrael. We want to give you thanks. The other idea that's mentioned in the literature is that during the sojourn in the Midbar, we know that the Mon is what sustained Klal Yisrael. And the Mon fell 6 days a week, but not on Shabbos. And Moshe specifically warns the people, make sure on Erev Shabbos you take an extra portion of the Mon, because on Shabbos it's not going to fall. Incidentally, that's where we have the basis for Lechem Mishnah, that we have two breads at every Shabbos meal. It's because of the double portion of Mon that fell. So we're told that Dasan v'Aviram wanted to try to undermine the authority of Moshe and Aaron. So what they did was they collected extra Mon, and on Shabbos morning, early in the morning, they put it out. They put it out, and they want to show the people, look, Moshe and Aaron said that they're claiming to have some type of pipeline to the Creator, pipeline to God, and they know everything, and they're telling us what to do. Look, these guys don't know what they're talking about. The Mon fell. They said the Mon wasn't going to fall, and the Mon, in fact, fell. So what happened? Again, the Medrash says that the birds came, and the birds ate up this extra portion of Mon that was put out, so that people wouldn't have seen the Mon and didn't have to question Moshe's authority. So again, as a reward for this act that they did to sort of save the day, this practice evolved to feed the birds.
Which
I don't remember exactly offhand where that is, but that's one of the popular bases for this practice.
So
two reasons that are given. One is because they sang, and one is because of this. Everything okay?
Something came up. Have to go.
Okay. Have a good job.
But
he says, why is it okay? Because what are we trying to do? Hakavana kedei lizkar simchas shiras hayam. Our Chashulchan says, what are we doing when we're feeding the birds? We're doing things to recount the experience of Kriyas Yamsuf and the shira that took place at the Yam. And it's just a way of sort of recreating that on some level. The less lanba, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's no problem with it. The yesh mishakosav kevin de kavanaseinu l'shem mitzvah mutter. And then he puts in sort of parenthetically that the Tosefa Shabbos is of the opinion that since it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, it's permissible.
What?
Doing this on Shabbos Shira. Putting out the food on Shabbos Shira. Now, what mitzvah it is a little hard to understand. But perhaps it's Hakar Sato, perhaps it's something else.
He's going against the Mishnah Berurah.
The Aruch HaShulchan, possibly, they were contemporaries. Happens to be fairly contemporary. The Aruch HaShulchan died earlier than the Mishnah Berurah. It is said that Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, and in general in the world, in Pesach, the Aruch HaShulchan is held out to be a different type of sefer, a different type of posik than the Mishnah Berurah. It's clear that they had different approaches to Allah. I've had an ongoing discussion with a close friend of mine as to who is the greater authority in terms of Pesach. He wants to maintain that the Mishnah Berurah was, that the Mishnah Berurah's commentary is written in a certain way. And you see the Chazon Ish took the Mishnah Berurah to be more authoritative because the Chazon Ish wrote a basically running commentary, and some, not really a running commentary, but Hagos glosses on the Mishnah Berurah. Didn't mention the Aruch HaShulchan. I told him, yeah, because he didn't have to write anything. The Aruch HaShulchan was clear. But in any event, they did argue. So one of Rav Moshe's Talmidim told me that he said, Rav Moshe said about the Aruch HaShulchan that the Mishnah Berurah needed a haskama from the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan didn't need a haskama from the Mishnah Berurah. Again, that's neither here nor there, but there are times when they argue. They don't necessarily agree on everything. The Tzitz Eliezer, who was quite contemporary, was our contemporary, Tzitz Eliezer died within the last 5 or 6 years. Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, who was a Talmud Chacham and a Gadol in Eretz Yisrael, wrote a very voluminous work called the Tzitz Eliezer. It's 15, 16, 17, I forget how many volumes we have here in the Beis Medrash. So in Chelek Yedal, in the 14th volume, in Simen Chav Ches, he has a question about this specific issue. Is it permissible to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira? So I'll just go through the tshuva because it's very clear, and he hits a lot of the issues that we've mentioned already.
If I can ask a question before you then.
Yeah. So I mean, you do find other places where animals are, so to speak, rewarded for how they benefited Klai Yisrael. You're asking me more of a philosophical question now, how to understand these ideas. It's a good question. What exactly are we saying? I mean, if God's the one that engineered the whole thing, and the birds didn't just all of a sudden come on their own, and or maybe they did. And if they did, then maybe it's just natural. Why should they be rewarded for that?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's one thing to call it a memory, like, oh, it's a nice memory device for us humans.
Right.
It's a completely another
thing. Well, that's sort of what the Rosh Hashulchan is saying. He's saying we're doing it not for the birds, we're doing it for ourselves, because we want to recreate what happened at the at the Shira,
at the Kriyas Yamsa. That's one thing. But it's unfortunate that the majority of Jews who actually practice these things actually think
that
they're...
They say seeing something or whatever. That doesn't mean like what you think of it. Like birds, they make their own. Some people say birds nowadays think. I mean, it's a whole different. You can understand it whatever way you want to understand it, but I'm saying it doesn't sound contradictory to have birds singing as Shira as well.
Yeah, no, that's. I had no issue with that. You could also say sing just things by their very existence, sing the praises of God, just like the sun sings the praise of God, because it's a natural cause.
Right, like you said, you say Kabbal Shabbos, we say a lot of those things.
That these. Minhags are conducive to breeding very inappropriate thought, messed up philosophy.
In the sense that what? That the birds did something?
Whatever. Anyway, I guess you could say that about people's approach to midrashim in general, perhaps.
No, but I think it's an animal. People do it for names, they do it for lots of things. You can't just say that, okay, just animals. They do it for names as well. Just because somebody had a not nice name.
Okay. He says, "Odos han hanochas tavshil leofos b'shabbos parsha shira, heyos ve'in mizonosecha alecha." A little bit of a tongue twister. This was the question. B'davar hanochas tavshil. He says the minig was to put out some cooked food. I don't know what they would put out. Kugel maybe for the birds. B'chatzeros ubeginos, in yards and in fields, in yards and in. Orchards. B'Shabbos Parsha Shira, Kachu Minhagan Shal Yisrael. He says this is again a well established minhag. V'Zachroni Minhag Zemi Yaldusi. He says I remember this from my days of childhood. V'Nogu Kacha B'Batim Shal Talmidei Chachamim. He says this was a minhag that was practiced in the houses of many great Talmidei Chachamim. Yireim V'Shleimim. Be'in Putzepem Mafakve. No one ever raised a concern about this. I just want to revisit your question. I was thinking about it sort of in the back of my mind. Okay. I mean, there is an idea of a person for his own sake to sometimes appreciate the things that were done for him. In other words, this is for a person to get a sense of Hakaras HaTovah. He's fine even by the Makos. Right? The Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to bring the first few Makos that involved affecting those things in Mitzrayim which protected him. Right? You remember that? Mm-hmm. He didn't want to hit the Ya'ar, so Aaron did that. He didn't want the Kenim, I think, also, because it protected him, those types of things. So there is an idea like that. It doesn't mean that the inanimate object, or in this case, even the bird, had a volition to do what it did. But a person has to have a sense of appreciating even the fact that God created this thing that was able to help me in this way. So that's ultimately, it's an appreciation of God through this particular thing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that I have no problem with.
Okay,
that's cool.
Right. I'm just trying to make it more palpable. Ve'ein makom lovo lasriel kach. He says, there's no halachic problem with this custom. No problem at all with this minhag. U'minhag on she'yisrael tori. Again, that same refrain that the Rosh Hashulchan quoted. U'minhag on she'yisrael tori. Omnom, he says, I'm not unaware of the fact that the Magen Avraham has a major problem with it. Ve'kosev demash she'yish nogin laseitz chitim b'shabbos shir lefnei ofos ein onochon. Sharein ein mezonoson alecha, and he says like that the Mishnah Berurah paskened as well in Sifkat Lamed Aleph. He says, however, it's a pella on the Mishnah Berurah. Why didn't he bring the Tosefa Shabbos, which the Aruch HaShulchan quotes as saying that it's good, it's proper. Why? De'asher kevin de'nogu kein l'shem mitzvah. It's since it's being done for a mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah? Oh, because everyone says margala b'fumayu sha'ofos amru shir b'yam l'chein ein l'hakbid. Since we're showing hakaras hatov to the birds, therefore it's not a problem. Eliyahu Rabba also quotes Lahalacha, the sheet of the Magen Avraham, also to be Oser. But what he finds interesting, he says, noteworthy, is that the same Tosefa Shabbos, who advocates for this practice, brings a raya from the Eliyahu Rabba someplace else. This is actually interesting. He says, the Eliyahu Rabba writes, in the end of Shin Lamed Vav, or Shin Lamed Hey, that there was a minig on Simchas Torah to be mefazer peiros, to spread out fruit. And you see depictions of this in different paintings from earlier generations. They would somehow either spread out fruit, in some cases they'd actually throw, it seemed like they would throw fruit to kids that would try to catch them in baskets, or in other cases they would spread the fruit out and the kids would gather it all up and put it in baskets. So the Eliyahu Rabba writes, it's also to do that, Mishem Davi Uvdu Dechol. That's an unnecessary thing. Why are you spreading out fruit and having people gather them all up on Shabbos and Yontif? You're making extra work for people. Hainu Kevin de Osen Kein LaSimcha, Lohakpidu Bekach. But since it was being done for Simcha, it was done to add to the merrymaking of the day for Simcha's Torah, it wasn't considered problematic or inappropriate. Im Kein, Efshar Dehu Adinami Linyan Zeh. The Tosefa Shabbos uses a statement of the Eliyahu Rabba to bring siyua, to bring a proof, to bring support to the propriety of this practice of feeding the birds on Shabbos Shira. Ratzel Omar, the Kishem She'ein Lahak B'Sham, just like we're not makbid over there. By the way, that minhag continues today, if I'm not mistaken, among the Hasidim. They have something that's called apple varfing, I think is the minhag. If you're so inclined, you could actually see it on YouTube if you want to see what they do. I think they have a table and they sort of roll the apple across to the kids and the kids roll it back and roll it to another kid. I think that's the vestige of that custom. It's not done on Simchas Torah though. I think they do it on Hashanah Rabbah. Why do they do it? They do it l'shem simcha, and therefore kamo kein gam ein lahakbid bazeh mishum tircha shlo tzarech, since it's being done as a zecher of the Ma'ora Hayom. Just like on Simchas Torah, it's done to sort of highlight the day, the Simcha of the Torah, so too over here, it's being done to highlight the Simcha that we have in recounting the Shira. The Kol Sheish Kavana Kan Nimtza Bezeh Havale Kishe Osim L'Shem Mitzvah Shem Mutter V'Nechshav Hadavar Ke'osel Tzarcha. Yeah, just give me 1 second. I'll take your question 1 second. Then he quotes from a Sefer Big Day Yasha, who he says he apparently didn't see the Eliyahu Rabba, who brings down the Magen Avraham, but he says he only saw the Tosefa Shabbos, who was Miyashiv the Minog. Al Kopanim, I'm skipping. Dover Yeshua Shal Tosefa Shabbos Miskabal Al Das. He says, I think that the Svara, if you will, of the Tosefa Shabbos is a good one. Vehetiku Es Devar of Kama Misifrei Poskim. A number of the poskim quoted this approach, like the Kerem Shlomo, like the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Maharsham, the Muki Aruch Hayim, the Das Torah, in a number of the Sifrei Acharon, the poskim of the last generation, they quoted this Tosefa Shabbos. He quotes the Aruch HaShulchan here. It says Minhag Yisrael Torah Ein Anu Torchem B'Shvilam Elo B'Shvileinu. For that reason, Imkain Kavana Kadei Lizkar Simchas Shira Sayam V'Les Lanba V'Nir LaHosif. Last two paragraphs. He says, I'm going to add something. The Yesh Gam Heker Shosim Zos Lo L'Shem Torach B'Shvilam Elo B'Shvileinu Da'anu Manichim Hachitem B'Chatzer Ol Agag Od Lifnei She'Ofas Nimtzayim Sham. He says, how do I know it's not Tircha specifically for the animals? Because it's not like people are saying, oh, the birds are here. Let's go get the food and give it to them. You're putting it out before they even get there. You put it out on their roofs. Or they would put out in the yards, and then the birds would come when they sense that it's there. B'svarim niskarim o tamim lahanachas chitim ha'ofos, imishim she'ofos ochlu ma she'dosan v'aviram pozru b'shabbos. He says the svarim mentioned different reasons, either because it's to recreate the events of the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Shira, or what happened with the incident involving Dasan Aviram when they put out on Shabbos the extra mon and it was regathered. Therefore, we give them scharam. We give them their schar lezecher zeb Shabbos Shira shekorin parshas haman. Either way, the imishem kadei lahodos or lahoros ki akadosh baruch hu himtzi liyisrael b'midbar mizonoseim below amel. Another idea is to show that God gave us our sustenance in the midbar without having to do anything, as we didn't have to toil for it; it was provided for us just the beginning of the month. So too, we trying to reflect that we're giving thanks for akadosh baruch hu sustaining us in the midbar like that. So, who gets food like that? Basically, birds. Birds eat without any major kind of toil, so it's sort of to highlight that we give out food for the birds who find their mizonos b'chol makom. That's an interesting idea also. V'yesh b'kol zeh imi shem haskaras chazdei Hashem, v'imi shem hachzachas tova, b'ofen shekol ma she'osim osim l'simen v'zeicha tov avureinu. L'chein mutter. He says, whatever the reason is, it's either to show appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations, either it's to show appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustaining us in the midbar, or to recreate what happened at the Yom Tov, and to sort of lend simcha to the Shabbos in which we read the Shira. For all those reasons, it's apparent, he says, that the tircha is not for the animals, it's instead for us, and therefore he finds no problem with it, and he says it's permissible. So like the Aruch HaShulchan, the Tzitz Eliezer says the practice is one that can be maintained, while the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham, Shulchan Harav, and others felt that it was problematic in light of the tircha that was involved. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So a question.